What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to The Good, The Bad and The Stupid. It's Monday the 13th of July. Monday the 13th, not quite as scary as Friday the 13th, but you got to get back to work, so Sunday night is always the day when you're thinking, oh God, I definitely do not want to go to work tomorrow. Whether you love your job or not, nobody wants to get up today. You just don't want to get out of bed, especially when the sun's out. Well, when the sun's out, 100%. And when it's freezing cold, 100%. So there's no good time to get out of bed and go to work. But if you're working from home still, you've got the you can bridge the gap by just picking your laptop up off the floor and having it in bed with you. Zoom meeting while you're in bed. Just as long as you're not up to anything else while it's going on. And it's the Zoom mate, not one of those ones that are watching porn and the Zoom film at the same time. The Zoom screen, should I say. Anyway, if you've not been here before, welcome to the best podcast and video that nobody knows about. Of course, that's why it's the best, because it's a secret club between you, me, and the other, I don't know, I can count them on probably 10 fingers and two thumbs. I've got 10 fingers and two thumbs. But yeah, so it's a very small club, but it's growing. We're growing in stature. We're growing in... status, that's the word. I nearly never come up with one then. Growing in status, that's what we are. We're the best kept secret, that's what we're going to say. Anyway, enough about that. Don't tell anybody about it, whatever you do, otherwise everybody will be listening to it and then we'll just become really, like, you know, mainstream and cheesy. We don't want that. But I'd earn some money, probably. But anyway, what's in the news? Donald Trump's wearing his mask. Funny as fuck, the Donald Trump's wearing a mask now. He's got his presidential blue military-looking mask he's wearing. But somebody's doctored one up on the internet. I saw it was on Facebook, I think. And they put Donald Trump, because obviously he's on the news that he's decided to wear one now after being fucking so arsey about it for the last 6 months and putting other people off wearing them, which has probably cost fucking lots of people's to get the disease. But anyway, he's like somebody's mocked one up and it's like Hitler's face at the bottom, so the mask is Hitler's chin with the moustache and everything like that. So it's Donald Trump's head with Hitler's jaw and like his moustache and everything. It's funny as fuck, because, you know, I'm not going to say he's one of his heroes, but he did say that somewhere when he was younger that he really, really enjoyed his book, or he loved his book Mein Kampf and that. So I think he had a lot of respect for him, something along those lines. Don't quote me on that if you're a Donald Trump fan. But anyway, yeah, as funny as anything, it'd be really good to see one. It looked a little bit like Kenny Everett's one. Kenny Everett, who does that character, the smoking Frenchman with the big long cigarettes and everything, and he's got the smoking jacket on, and he's got like a fake chin with a little moustache. It should do one of him. If anybody's out there, whoever's made that video, you're not going to be listening to this because, again, as I said, we're a small group. But if anybody knows him, tell him to do the Kenny Everett one. What else could you do? What other ones could you do? Oh, there's some fucking... There's got to be some cartoon ones you could do. Like fucking Droop... What's it called? Droopy. Who's the one out of Mickey Mouse? Who's the dog one? Oh, Droopy, isn't it? Droopy, no. The Droopy's the little dog. Who's the other fucking dog? My brain ain't engaging today, properly. But anyway, speaking of Hitler, Hitler's black tuxedo has gone up for sale on... his black tuxedo jacket and top hat could fetch up to £79,000 at auction. Everybody loves Hitler stuff. Hitler stuff's Nazi stuff. You'd be surprised. Nazi stuff sells for fucking really big money. People collect it. People are really sort of fucking crazy about it. Lots of places you're not allowed to sell it, but there's collectors for it. And they I went to an army. What the fuck would they call it? It was like, it's on once a year, it's like an army fair. It's like where lots of people are selling stuff there. Everybody's walking around dressed in all the military gear and everything like that. You can buy loads of collectibles and souvenirs and that. There was Nazi stuff all over the place. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was almost like it was a Nazi fan club. It was like, he had all the different sort of armies and stuff there, but they had like, it was mainly World War II, and it was a reenactment type fair. But people were, there was loads of like people dressed like the, I had a photo with five guys, and they were like twice the height of me, all dressed like the SS type Gestapo looking guys. There was a teddy bear, massive teddy bear there with his arm doing a salute with a moustache, like a little Hitler moustache. Imagine like a big white pudsy telethon teddy bear. And he had his arm up doing the Nazi thing with a little moustache. Really surreal. I mean, I was there to buy antiques and stuff, to look for stuff. I bought some good stuff. I bought a load of passes, safe passage passes, which they used to send over to the enemy lines. I bought a load of the English ones that they sent over to the Germans, telling them to surrender. And they would put them in a rocket, and they would have loads of these pamphlets in the rocket, and they would blast them over into the enemy lines. The rocket would explode, and all these pamphlets would all fall down all over the enemy. And they basically said, safe passage. With this piece of paper, you can bring it to the enemy line, and we'll accept you into custody without causing you any harm. But then I had some other ones, which were the Germans sending it over to the Russian, saying the same thing. They were blasting them over into the Russian army, saying, if you surrender, we won't hurt you, and all that kind of stuff. So I bought loads of those and to sell, because they're quite collectible to anybody. But all the Nazi stuff, I just didn't get it. I mean, there was like some really strange people there. Anyway, moving on. Hitler's tuxedo, that would go well with Donald Trump's maybe Donald Trump should buy it, and he could put his face mask on with it, and all it would be then would be Hitler with Donald Trump's hair, because he'd have the tuxedo, he'd have the chin and the moustache, just with Donald Trump's hair. That'd be like, imagine that, that'd be like Hitler trying, when he's trying to do a disguise, trying to escape from when he didn't die, or whether he did die or not. Maybe escaped with a big wig on like that. That's what he would have looked like. A lady's wig, because Donald Trump's got lady's hair. There, I said it. I'm only joking. He's got bouffant. He's got like, he spends a lot of time on it. Let's put it that way. He's got the hair dryer out in the morning. I wonder if his wife has to blow dry his hair for him, you know, like back comb it and everything like that, and make sure it's all, because it's all like, it's the same every time, isn't it? You know, and you have to work at it to do that. Anyway, a dim-witted burglar was caught pushing his neighbour's possessions down the street in a wheelbarrow in broad daylight. Cheeky bastards, burglars are getting brazen, even more brazen. So he's broken. I told you the other day somebody nicked the whole contents of the flat opposite. Now he's fucking, he's probably their lawn, I bet it's their wheelbarrow as well. So they're putting all their shit in here and they're going, right, hold on. Let's use their wheelbarrow to wheel their shit down to my house. Cheeky bastard. He deserves to fucking have some crazy war lunatic who's got a gun hidden under his bed to catch him in the act and fucking pop him one. You know, it's a shame they weren't there, because you got some rights when you attack him in your own house, haven't you? If you attack him in the street, I don't think you get the same. You know, trying to get your stuff back, you get fucking done for GBH. Unfortunately, you get done for it. But if it's in the house, maybe you have to drag him back into the house and then kick the fuck out of him. That's what you should do. Smash him over the head with a fucking wheelbarrow, banging it off his head. Going, what? You want this, do you? You want this rolling the wheel back and forth over his face? And you get great pleasure in it, because, you know, he's nicked fucking everything there. £7,000 worth of stuff. The only good thing is if you're insured. If you're not insured, you fucked it in there. But if he lives down the road, you just get someone to go and burgle his house somewhere down the line, perhaps. What was I going to say? Marrying young could make you an alcoholic. Marrying at any age could make you an alcoholic. It's amazing that I've not been married yet, but it's amazing in those first few weeks and months, that kind of, you know, excitement, the build-up, the honeymoon, all the friends and family, everybody there for you. It's all your day. A month or two later, somebody ain't picking their shit up. Somebody ain't doing their fucking share of the chores around the house. Somebody's playing the fool or taking you for a fool. And that's when things start getting a bit nasty. That's when it starts to become tit for tat. And then all of a sudden, the divorce hotline is hitting. Apparently the divorce hotline's going mad at the moment. It's like fucking Busby. You know, the operator. You know, the old films where the operator's putting the phones are going crazy, so they're putting all the different sort of plugs in, all the different things as all the phones are going mad. That's like the divorce court, because everybody in lockdown. It's crazy, isn't it? Because lockdown, I mean, you've been married, some people have been married for a few years, but all of a sudden you didn't realise that person that you're married to, as soon as you're stuck in the house with them for a long period of time, all of a sudden you fucking hate them. I didn't realise I fucking hated you. I don't get on with you. Why the hell do I want to be stuck in this house with you any longer after the virus is lifted? I'm getting onto that divorce court. I should be like that, or he or she be like that. Well, she'll be like that. Right, okay, that's fine. I'm just having half your shit, so I'm just going to make an inventory. I'm going to do an inventory whilst you're on the phone and work out exactly where, you know, what I'm going to have of yours. And the same for the, I don't know if blokes can do it the other way. Got to be able to, surely by now. Men can have it the other way. It's not fair otherwise. I've got nothing to fucking anybody to have off me. They would definitely have to give me half. They'd probably have to leave me and then go, you know what, I'm going to leave you half my stuff because I feel sorry for you. You know, all you got is your little podcast camera and your little band of merry listeners, which aren't very many. Spandau Ballet's Gary Kemp said him and he had to stop laughing when they met Ronnie Cray. When they played the Cray twins, they had to stop themselves from laughing when Ronnie Cray said to him, "You ain't fucking playing me with that earring in." He said, the guy who was meant to be playing him, I think Gary Kemp, is it? He went and visited him, but he had an earring in his ear. And Ronnie Cray didn't take very kindly to it. He told him, "You're not going to be playing me with that earring in." And they had to stop themselves from laughing. I suppose he didn't like jump over the table and fucking rip it out your ear. He weren't shy, was he, Ronnie Cray? But he must have just thought, to be honest, I would have thought he would have thinking, why the fuck are Spandau Ballet going to be playing me and my brother? I suppose it's because they were twins, or they were, they were twins, weren't they? But you're probably thinking, oh, I don't even want, not only do I don't want you with that earring in playing me, I don't want anybody out of Spandau Ballet playing me. You're not my kind of music, thank you. I want some other people who would look a bit hard. But it weren't a bad film, to be honest, if I'm honest. But apparently, that's like when Charles Bronson, when Tom Hardy was playing Charles Bronson, he had a load of advice for him as well. And you just got to nod and go, yeah, that's right. I, whatever you say, I'll do whatever you say that keeps me safe before I get out of here. And also, even though he's in prison, you still feel you was in danger if you did a shit job. As the acting, imagine if he did a really crap job and he weren't happy with it, and he started going right because he was gay. And he right, I'm going to send somebody. I can't get out and shag you, but I'm going to be sending somebody out to shag you and beat you up. And he's going to run a wheelbarrow back and forth over your face, like I was talking about earlier. Prostitutes have demonstrated in Hamburg's red light district, demanding that Germany's brothels are allowed to reopen. We want to open. Well, they need to work, don't they? But everybody—it's the oldest profession in the world, and if people choose to do it, they deserve to be back at work. Amsterdam's up and running. They're just doing it. I think they're just going for the doggy style, or no face-to-face contact, no face-to-face contact. But in Hamburg, the Reeper Barn—is it the Reeper Barn? Yeah, the Reeper. I've been there. The Reeper Barn. Everybody been to Hamburg in the Reeper Barn? It's crazy. It's not anything like it used to be in the 60s, I imagine, but it's just sex shop after sex shop. Loads of bars and everything as well. I mean, I wasn't there for that. I was there just visiting, but you get around it and you have a look and see what's what. But, you know, some of the shops, it's all sex fucking, sex mad. And I didn't get to see any of the oldest working profession in action. I'm not that way inclined, but it was a great place, though. Good to see. The Beatles were there. The Beatles were there for a few, I don't know if they were there for years. They were there for a few months, anyway, when they were, before they were famous, or when they were very, very early on. They did like a season there, didn't they? So I bet they saw a few of the oldest working profession in the world while they were there. Saying that, they didn't need to. They had fucking women chucking themselves at them, I imagine. Nearly 1 in 5 million. Men and women are chucking themselves at each other in the shops, apparently. Nearly 5 million Brits have had a one-night stand with someone they met at the shops. In the Lidl, in the supermarket, in the greengrocer, in the bakery. I must be fucking walking around with my blinkers on, because it doesn't happen to me. That nobody's ever put it on me down the toilet roll aisle, or while I'm picking up my digestive biscuits. But yeah, maybe it's me. I'm meant to be making the moves, I guess. I'm just, I'm in the shops to do my shopping. But anyway, so lots of people are having one-night stands off it. That's like fucking meeting somebody in the shop and going, fancy coming back to mine? Yeah, why not? I tell you what, somebody's got the gift of the gab. Somebody, I have to fucking learn some of these tricks off somebody. Or, you know, they're saying that nearly 5 minutes. There's got to be some bullshit is in there. That can't be true. Not unless you're pissed in there. If you're pissed and then you go like, yeah, it's, you know what I mean? Otherwise, you got some front doing that. That's like that. Them people the other day on the Scrabble board having to go through the online Scrabble, going fancy a bit, putting that in there on their chips on their Scrabble, what do they call them? Letters, spelling out sexy words and whatever, flirting. But so there. Well, that's it. I'm gonna have to up my game next time. I'm down the supermarket. I'll have to get me fucking me sovereigns on, me chains, slick me hair back, bit of the old Spice, a bit like Del Boy, and get down there and see if I can catch myself a winner. I'll introduce you to her if I do. I'll introduce you to her on the one night, because if it's a one night stand, but you never know, I might meet the one. Right, last one I'm going to do, if I can find it. Have I done one? I think I've done them all. Oh, I'm going to have to do one more. Let's do this one. The bus driver claimed to a retired bus driver has laid claim to being the oldest paperboy in the world at age 90. So he's still active. He's still out and about. And I bet he's probably fucking up. Why is he doing that at the age of 90? He's been running around doing a paper round for the last 20 or 30 years. I reckon he's like still, you know, Mr. Motivator. You reckon he's like got a few ladies that he's knocking on the door. He must have a bit of a run there, you know what I mean? Every time he goes round, there must be some widows along the route. And I bet he's like, you know, he's 90. He doesn't need to be doing it, does he? There's a reason why he's doing that. I know for active, to keep active, but not just to keep active carrying papers and delivering them. That's about for about £10 a week. No, that man's got a twinkle in his eye, and he's got more than he's being offered by the paper shop. Let's put it that way. Good on him. That's probably why he looks so young, because he doesn't look that bad for 90. I'll tell you that. That's it. I'm going to get a paper round as well and see if I can build myself up a little bit of a clientele between now and me being 90. It'll keep me young, all that kind of action. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there. Hopefully you've enjoyed it, and I'll do another one tomorrow. See you later for now. Bye.